Let's get down to business, taking a look at Wall Street. Dow Jones Industrial Average down 167 to finish at 21,287. S&P 500 down 20 at 2,419. NASDAQ Composite down 90 at 6,144. Russell 2000 down 9 at 1,416. Yield on the 10-year Treasury note up 5 basis points at 2.27%. Oil up 12 cents at $44.86 per barrel. Gold down $3.40 at $12.46.40 an ounce. Well, we had a nice trend so far this year. Stock market's been moving forward in small, steady gains. Volatility has been low, almost imperceptible. The markets just kept moving higher. When we had a pullback, it was followed the next day by a rally, even if there was no conviction. That was the case this week, down on Tuesday, back up on Wednesday. Today throws a wrench in the pattern, with the S&P 500 and the Dow Industrials suffering their worst daily percentage drops in about 6 weeks. The tech sector was the worst performing group today. There's a lot more volatility in tech this month, and that's in part due to stretched PEs. At this point, it's just a couple of down days, and we're heading into a long holiday weekend, a good time to take profits off the table and enjoy a barbecue without worries. Still, valuations are high, and it's one of the longest bull markets in history. Bull markets don't last forever. June has not been kind to the FANG stocks. Facebook, Apple, Amazon, Netflix, Google, which were market leaders, then hit a downdraft. There's no question the FANGs have become pricey. The market caps are so huge they dominate the indexes. But markets can stay exuberant and irrational for a very long time. And this is not the first time we've seen a sell-off in the FANGs, only to watch them move higher. Today, money was rotating from tech and into the financials after the big banks passed the Fed stress test and can now offer bigger dividends and buybacks. J.P. Morgan, nation's largest lender, said it's boosting its quarterly dividend 12%, may increase share repurchases to $19.4 billion over the next 12 months, roughly 90% more than in the prior year. Citigroup plans to double its dividend, may purchase up to $15.6 billion of its own shares. Bank of America hiked its dividend 60% and will buy back up to $12 billion worth of shares. Shares of all three rose at least 2% in early trade in New York. They, along with Wells Fargo and Morgan Stanley, may collectively buy as much as $64 billion in their own stocks. Goldman Sachs has yet to make an announcement. Commerce Department posted its third and sort of final revision to first quarter gross domestic product, and the revision came in higher, up 0.2% to 1.4% instead of the 1.2% reported last month. The government had pegged first quarter growth at a paltry 0.7% in its first estimate in April. First quarter economic growth was boosted by an upward revision to consumer spending, which accounts for, well, roughly 2/3 of U.S. economic activity. Consumer spending rose at a 1.1% pace, the weakest reading since the second quarter of 2013, but almost double the 0.6% reported last month. A sustained average growth rate of 3% has not been achieved in the U.S. since the 1990s. The U.S. economy has grown an average 2% since 2000, and it expanded only 1.6% in 2016, which was the weakest growth in 5 years. Initial signs that economic growth reaccelerated sharply in the second quarter have also faltered in the face of recent disappointing data on retail sales, manufacturing production, and inflation. Housing data has also been mixed. Exports for the period were revised to show a 7% rate of growth from the previously reported 5.8%, Exports in the fourth quarter fell at a rate of 4.5%. Business spending on equipment was revised to show it increasing at a rate of 7.8% in the first quarter, rather than the 7.2% previously estimated. The government also reported that corporate profits after tax, with inventory valuation and capital consumption adjustments, fell at an annual rate of 2.7% in the first quarter, after rising 2.3% in the prior 3 months. The Bank of International Settlements, or BIS, is the central bank for the central bankers of the world. According to the BIS's annual report, the global economy faces four risks. First, financial cycle risk for financial stability. Second, risk to consumption growth from household debt. Third, risk to investment from weak productivity growth and high corporate debt. And fourth, risk from rising protectionism. From the report, the BIS says, these risks may appear independent, but they are not. For instance, policy tightening to contain an inflation spurt could trigger or amplify a financial bust in the more vulnerable countries. Indeed, an overarching issue is the global economy's sensitivity to higher interest rates, given the continued accumulation of debt in relation to GDP, complicating the policy normalization process. As another example, a withdrawal into trade protectionism could spark financial strains and make higher inflation more likely, and the emergence of systemic financial strains yet again, or simply much slower growth, could heighten the protectionist threat beyond critical levels. Well, of all those risks, protectionism is the only one a government can fully control. A government can choose to engage in global free market capitalism, or it can aggressively try to distort the market by blocking competing goods and services. It can either work amicably with neighbors and allies, or it can create tension felt across the globe. A revised version of President Trump's travel ban, approved by the Supreme Court, set to take effect at 5 p.m. Eastern Time tonight. The justices implemented an exemption for travelers from six Muslim-majority countries with a bona fide relationship to people or entities in the U.S. The Trump administration has adopted a narrow definition of bona fide relationship. According to guidelines, the Trump administration has sent to U.S. embassies and consulates only a family member who is a parent, spouse, child, adult son or daughter, son-in-law, daughter-in-law, or sibling of U.S. residents will be allowed to enter the country. Fiancés, grandparents, grandchildren, aunts, uncles, nieces, nephews, cousins, other extended family members are not considered to have close familial ties. And if you think this might lead to mass confusion, well, Congressional Budget Office has come out with a long-term analysis of Senate Republicans' health care legislation, found that the bill would slash spending on Medicaid by about 35% over the next 20 years. The analysis follows a 10-year look by the agency released earlier this week. The new CBO estimate doesn't include a projection of how many people would be covered under the Republican bill. The CBO estimate shows that states would be forced to make trade-offs in how to allocate their far more limited funds. Drugstore chain Walgreens Boots Alliance scrapped its deal to buy Rite Aid after failing to win antitrust approval, but said it would instead buy nearly half of Rite Aid's U.S. stores for about $5.18 billion. Rite Aid shares plunged 28% to $2.85. Walgreens shares up about 1% at $77.97. Walgreens also ended a related deal to sell as many as 1,200 Rite Aid stores to Fred's, sending Fred's shares down 19%. Walgreens' plan to buy 2,186 Rite Aid stores accomplishes many of the same goals as the merger, including eliminating Rite Aid as a rival, but does so in a way that makes it harder for the FTC to take the companies to court to stop the transaction. The FTC will still review the new deal. Walgreens also reported better-than-expected profit and sales for the third quarter, helped by a rise in prescription volumes in its U.S. pharmacy business. The company also authorized a $5 billion buyback program and raised the lower end of its full-year profit forecast. Nike reported quarterly revenue and profit topped Wall Street estimates. The company kept a lid on cost and saw greater demand in Western Europe, China, and emerging markets. Nike, a Dow component, shares were up 3%. Britain intends to subject Rupert Murdoch's takeover of European pay TV group Sky to a lengthy, in-depth investigation after finding that 21st Century Fox's $15 billion deal risk giving the media mogul too much power over the news agenda. The proposed entity would have the third largest total reach of any news provider, lower only than the BBC and ITN, and would uniquely span news coverage on television, radio, newspapers, and online. Regulators make a final decision July 14th, giving Fox a couple of weeks to address concerns. Blue Apron shares debuted today. The IPO stumbled, didn't fall. Blue Apron's 30 million share offering priced at $10 per share late yesterday. The company slashed its valuation expectations by about a third. Shares gained 1% in the first day of trade. Blue Apron spent roughly 18% of its $795 million in revenue on marketing last year, posting a loss of $54 million. Well, this should be a very interesting 4th of July celebration in Las Vegas this year. Recreational marijuana becomes legal to buy Saturday in Nevada. That doesn't mean it can be smoked anywhere, only private homes, yards, porches. Prohibited in casinos, bars, restaurants, parks, concerts, any federal property. You can't just walk down the street or the strip smoking a joint. Also prohibited in all forms of airports. No driving while stoned, and what's smoked in Vegas stays in Vegas. Dow Industrials down 167 at 21,287. S&P 500 down 20 at 2,419. NASDAQ Composite down 90 at 6,144. Follow along live streaming and archived audio at moneyradio.com and the daily blog, eatthebankers.com.